Thank you, Jeanette. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Ron. God bless every one of you. It's great to be here today. Boy, that music was put together very wonderfully. I'm so thankful for the way you've choose the songs and, you know, and all the rest of it. It's just terrific, Chris leading them. Music is something that's wonderfully unique, and I think when you have, you know, music helps you remember words, and you know, some of these songs that we sing, the words are words from God, and they're so wonderful to remember, and just a great thing. Okay, well, I hadn't planned to say that, but sort of got inspired by the music this morning. Take your Bibles, please, and go to Philippians. Philippians. We often say, flip to Philippians. And roam on over to Romans or something. In Philippians, in chapter 2 and part of 1 and 3, you have some great examples of men that stood for God, even when it wasn't easy. Sometimes it's not too bad, you know, but sometimes it's pretty hard to stand for the one true God. And, you know, their example, well, think about Jesus Christ, his example. His standing for the one true God was he laid down his life for us. And that is a terrific thing. And I know in many categories, we lay down part of our life so that we can be a part of something like this and we can speak God's word to our neighbors and our friends and our families and our loved ones. So anyway, I thought you would enjoy this. So go to Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. It says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. And conversation is manner of life. You know, only let your manner of life be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the right way of believing the gospel. You know, there are people that hear the gospel and they don't believe it the right way. Well, we like to try to promote it and believing it the right way of believing, setting it forth correctly. And, you know, coming up on Thanksgiving, I'm so thankful for these people, like the Apostle Paul, like obviously Jesus Christ, like Timothy that stood with Paul, and Epaphroditus. If we have enough time, we'll look at all of those that stood for God, and they didn't do the easy thing. You know, I'm so blessed with. Well, anyway, verse 29: For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. And that word suffer means to experience things. It's not necessarily where you got to bear your cross and all that. It means that there are things that come up in life that you have to face. Sometimes they're not pleasant. Having the same conflict that ye saw in me and now here to be in me. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, is there any of that? Yeah, there's lots of it. You know, that bowels and mercy is compassion. You know, if there's any compassion, fulfill ye my joy that ye be what? Like-minded. Like-minded. Sometimes that's a difficult thing. You've got an idea about how things should be or whatever else, you know, and then you go to the Word and the Word says something else and you say, Oh, dear. So if I'm going to be like-minded, I've got to get rid of my thinking and take this new thinking. Fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, where you think the same thing, you know, one accord, souls together, thinking the same thing, thinking as one. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Aha! It is all right to be a busybody. No, that's not what this is saying. No, it's where you look on what other people are going through. You look at the things that they're experiencing, and you have compassion for them, as it said in the previous verses. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So this mind meaning the thoughts, the things that you think about, who being in the form given to him by God, is how this should be understood, being in the form given to him by God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, and that equal should be agree. Thought it not robbery, thought it not something for personal gain to agree with God. Boy, look at that. You know, some people, for personal gain, they do things for God. Well, that's not what Jesus Christ did. He laid down his all in all. He laid down his life. But made himself, here's what he did, made himself of no reputation. He emptied himself of self and took upon him the form of a servant. He was the Son of God. He was the Son of God, but he took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he vaunted himself. He acted like he was the best one on the team. And no, yeah, I think of this sometimes when these guys, you know, when I played football, you scored a touchdown and you acted like, just another day, not a big thing. I scored a touchdown. Next time I get the ball, I'll do that again. But now today, they think they've accomplished some huge thing that makes them something or other. Well, they're not quite emptying themselves of self in a situation like that. Being found in a fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. And not just any death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. Wow. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. When you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, that glorifies God. That's to the glory of the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not only in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your own wholeness with reverence and obedience, is fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring, you know. Don't be grumpy, without grumbling, you know. Do all things without grumbling, without murmurings and disputings. You know, you run into these people and they always have a better idea no matter what you say. You know, they got to dispute about it. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. It's not, it's more like generation. And they, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And this holding forth should be translated holding onto the word of life. Hold on to the word of life. Don't let it go. Don't let it go. The adversary would like for you to let it go. Don't let it go. Hold on to it. Holding on to the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And the word of life, so often we think of soul life, you know, because we're soul life folks. But we're also spirit life folks. You know, the greater life that we enjoy is the life of the God in Christ in us, the gift of Holy Spirit, power from on high. Man, oh man, isn't that the life we want to hold on to? Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your believing, I joy and rejoice with you all. He was, as I understand it, he was in prison at this time, and his outcome wasn't very sure how things were going to go. And says, yea, if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your believing, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. Now, he's going to get into talking about some other examples. His life, the Apostle Paul, his life was a terrific example. Sure, he made a couple things. He did went to Jerusalem when he wasn't supposed to, and a couple other things. But, you know, his life was terrific. He is such a great example. Jesus Christ is such a great example. We want our, the mind of Christ. We want to put that in our heart and on in our mind. But there's also this guy called Timothy. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. You know, our standing is that of a son. We're sons of God. That's our standing. That remains no matter what. But our state is in fellowship, out of fellowship. In fellowship, out of fellowship. We want to be in fellowship. We want to have our mind set like a flint. You know, where it does, where we stay put on God and his word. What a terrific thing that is. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Timotheus was like-minded with the Apostle Paul and would be concerned about helping them to stay in fellowship with God. For all seek their own, not the things that are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with a father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord, that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus. Now, Epaphroditus is a name that we use every day. He's often mentioned in the... No, it's the only place I think he's mentioned. But, wow, what a man. What a man he was that stood for God. I supposed to it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness, because that ye heard that he had been sick. He was full of heaviness because the believers there at Philippi had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. It was enough for him to be sick. But, you know, if he died, that would have been really bad. 28, I send him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness. All what? Gladness. And hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death. For the work of Christ, whatever that means, whatever that was, he had pushed himself in service to represent Christ to the point that he had overdone it. And he got sick. And God delivered him. But how wonderful it was. He, sort of like Jesus Christ example, in that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. He counted his life not as valuable as our lives, because he laid down his life for us, you know. And so that should, you know, and the value, remember, I don't know if any of you had economics, but the value of something is what someone is willing to pay for it. What's our value? What's our value? Don't forget that. You know, you are valuable to God. You know, when someone is trying to manipulate, they'll say, you know, whatever they want, they'll lie, you know, they'll fudge on things a little bit because they're trying to be accepted or whatever else. But for those of us that know the truth, we want to speak the truth. When you speak the truth, you don't know what the outcome's going to be. You don't know if somebody's going to say, wow, finally somebody has set this straight for me. That's how I was when I heard the truth. But then there were other people that heard the truth. And, I won't repeat what they said to me. But, you know, you can imagine, I witnessed up and down the football hall, you know, where the dorm was. And I got all kinds of different reactions. But, you know, when you speak the truth, you just stay put on the truth. The truth is that man was originally body, soul, and spirit. And God gave them one commandment and told them, if you don't do this, if you break this, you're going to surely die. You know. And, of course, you know, Adam and Eve got together and decided they would break this one commandment. And something died. It wasn't the body and soul that died. It was the spirit part that died. That life that is the greater life. Remember Jesus Christ said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. That life is that spiritual life, that God in Christ in you life that we have. That's the greater life. And that's what was lost. So man had a spiritual void. He used to be body, soul, and spirit. But all of a sudden, he was body and soul. He, collective noun, men and women, boys and girls, you know, Adam and Eve, they both lost spirit. That's what died. They lost spirit. Then God had to go to work. Oh my gosh. And to work with people. People that weren't very much spiritually minded, because they were only what? Body and soul. You know, you can't understand spiritual things if you don't have a spiritual spirit to understand with. You know, that can help your mind and bring you along. And so then, finally, the promised seed came, and Jesus Christ laid down his life. He paid the price for our redemption and salvation. And then it was possible for God to reinstate spirit, to give us spirit again, so that once again, man could be body, soul, and spirit as we are today. We're body, soul, and spirit. This is something that is so misunderstood and so not recognized by so many people, because how can they understand it? If your body and soul, you cannot understand spirit because you don't have spirit. You don't know what spirit is. You know, it's like if you never had coffee, you wouldn't be able to know anything about coffee. But, you know, not having spirit. So then they talk about saving someone's soul. And they talk about, salvation dealing with the soul. But salvation is dealing with the spirit. It's spirit. It's a spiritual thing. When we get born again of God's Spirit, we get something that was we didn't have before. It was a void in our lives. Anyway, that's a topic for another day. I want to see if I can develop that sometime. So let's see. For all seek their own, not the things that are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, of Epaphroditus. He had proven integrity. As a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, as soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus. Okay, I was reading about Timothy. Now we're to Epaphroditus. My brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. He longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. But God hath mercy upon him, not only on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his own life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Just terrific, terrific men, terrific commitment, terrific love, love for God's people. And today I'm thankful for so many people down through the ages, you know, that have endeavored to stay faithful and make this word available to us in our day and time. How wonderful it is. Chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of what? Dogs. Don't you know? You all have to be cat people. No, that's not what it's talking about. Dogs, when they hunt, they attack from behind. Kevin reminded me of one of our dogs that we had, Whiskey. Used to, if somebody came into our house and they were a stranger, he'd bark, 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 bark. We finally get him settled down. But when that person was going out the door, Whiskey would come back and nip at their heel, you know, to make sure they knew he didn't approve of them. You know, but anyway, but that's what, you know, dogs attack from behind. They're backbiters. You know, beware of backbiters. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision, the circumcision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the what? Spirit. If you're only body and soul, can you worship in the Spirit?
No.
No. No, you cannot worship in the spirit if you're only body and soul. There is a void there. Avoid the void. And you have. That's why you're here. You have been born again of God's Spirit, and you know it. If you're happy and you know it, well, you're born again of God's Spirit, and you know it. So it's a terrific thing. And rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man think that he hath whereof he may trust in the flesh, I more. Here, this is wonderful. Circumcised the eighth day. That's according to the law, you know. You got to do that. Of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. Hey. A Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. I could quote you the law up one side and down the other. You know, he knew the law inside and out. He was a Pharisee, strictest sect among the Jewish followers. Concerning zeal, you want to talk about zeal? Huh, persecuting the church. In the census knowledge approach to life, he persecuted the church. Why? He couldn't understand spirit. It was a void. He didn't have it. He didn't have it. Touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. You know, wow. He had it all. Like that song, perfect bod, perfect whatever. You know? Man, oh man, he had it all. Touching the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung. You know what dung is? It's what you wipe off your shoes when you come up from the barn. And do count them but dung, that I may win what? Christ. Folks, we are winners. Don't ever let anybody convince you of anything else. We are winners. We won Christ. Christ won eternal life for us, and we won Christ. Well, that is a terrific thing. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness. It's impossible to be spiritually righteous when you don't have a spirit. Right? You know, you're void. You can't cook, you can't drink hot chocolate if you don't have any hot chocolate. Well, you can't be righteous without the Spirit. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the believing of Jesus Christ, the righteousness which is of God by believing, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. When Jesus Christ died, our old man died with him. Don't bring him up again from the grave. Quit bringing the old man up. Let the old man stay there dead. When Jesus Christ died, our old man, body and soul, died with him. When God got him up, we got up with him. And it's God in Christ in us, the hope of glory. Boy, oh boy. Being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Well, it's talking about there. Living according to the greatness of what it is to walk on resurrection ground. You know, the resurrection ground has been purchased for us. Everywhere we walk is resurrection ground, because we walk there because of God in Christ in us. God raised him from the dead, and then he shed forth this, which we now see and hear. what a wonderful Savior, what a wonderful God, what a terrific thing. We can see things that body and soul people will never see or understand, and you can't explain it to them. You got to get them born again. You got to get them born again first. You know, you talk to people, and I don't understand what you're talking about. Well, you can't understand. You have a void in the area that we're speaking of, and that is spirit, in the spiritual area. It's God in Christ in you, the hope of glory. We've got that. You know, we are what the Word of God says we are. We have what the Word of God says we have. We will be what the Word of God says we will be. All of those manifestations of the Spirit came with that gift. We could, you know, that's why we expect when we heal, when we pray for people, they're going to be healed. You know, it's Christ in us. When Jesus Christ prayed for people, what happened? They got healed. You know, it's God in Christ. It's a spiritual reality. We live in a spiritual reality beyond anything the world can comprehend. And we have the privilege of carrying forth this, living it, enjoying the benefit ourselves. What a terrific thing that is. But then to be able to share it with other people so that other people can get the wherewithal to understand spiritual things. They've got to get born again. We can help them get born again. And then we can nurture them along the way by speaking the truth in love. We've got to speak the truth. And the truth is God's word. What a privilege. And we've got it. Isn't that terrific? Wow. God has blessed us, equipped us, loved us. Man, oh man. He put us in his category, giving us Holy Spirit. God is holy. God is spirit. He gave us the gift of Holy Spirit, power from on high. We're part of that royal household. We're part of God's family. We are sons and daughters of God. What a terrific thing. Heavenly Father, again, we're so thankful for all that you've done for us, all you continue to do for us, day by day, every day. We thank you, Father, for the people around us, our friends, family members, others, that we have the privilege of speaking the truth to so that they can get the wherewithal to understand spiritual matters. Thank you again for your love, your mercy, and grace, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.